Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. Today, an issue which agonises many a young woman, the so-called biological clock. The pervasive and powerful idea that you've got a partner and have your kids ASAP, otherwise you'll end up in the IVF clinic or the adoption trail. There's a strong sense of a fertility cliff and women teeter on it at their peril. But a recent analysis of the data suggests there may be a bit of a myth about this, and the panic may not be so necessary. The Health Report's Katie Silver's been investigating.
I'm 26, I'm single. I do want children. It never played on my mind, even until, you know, the last 18 months. Now I've got friends that are having kids, and no one's going, oh, they're so young. People are actually saying, oh, it's a good time to start. And it has come as a bit of a shock to me because it's not anything that looks likely for me in the next couple of years, if I'm honest. If the biological clock, boy, you can't escape the tick-tick-tock
of the biological clock. There were like a few wedding years where everyone just gets married in a row, and now this year all my friends have started having babies. So it's only since everybody else has fallen like dominoes, I'm probably just going to fall like a domino. You still have plenty of time. So when I open the
box and I look at the clock, it's at 11:59. I've always kind of advocated against the biological TikTok in a way. Like, my hackles raise up at that. I don't want to be depicted as the crazy woman that's becoming desperate to have children because of the biological TikTok. But I've always known since I was 8 that I wanted to have children. Maybe it is the biological clock, but the older you get, the increased risk factors and the fact that your body does start to wear out. Rusty beyond all repair.
It's an awkward topic of conversation with women in their 30s who are yet to have kids. It can be an elephant in the room. You don't want to ask if they're trying, but many are filled with this private anguish. Have they waited too long, pursuing careers and adventures? How long do they try for before they pursue other options such as IVF? And then, amongst younger women, many of my friends, it's that nagging anxiety about what's the right age to start. How long have we got? Jean Twenge says there was a book in the early 2000s that really kicked off what's known as the baby panic.
This book by Sylvia Hewitt pointed out that, you know, fertility declines at 27 and, you know, you may regret it if you don't have children and so on. So there was a baby panic that really hit in the media. Time magazine ran an article on this, so did Newsweek.
Jean Twenge is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University and the author of a book called The Impatient Woman's Guide to Getting Pregnant. She says this fear's been overblown and is based on largely questionable data.
When my husband and I were thinking about starting a family, I read a lot and came across a statistic, which I saw repeated over and over, that said that 1 out of 3 women over 35 would not be pregnant after a year. So that's the definition of infertility or having fertility problems. That sounded really scary. I also started looking in medical journals, and the articles that I found had much more encouraging statistics. So that made me curious where that 1 out of 3 number came from. So I went looking for the source and found the journal article it came from, got to the methods section, and it turns out that that statistic comes from a study of birth records in France from the 1500s and 1600s.
Jean Twenge says there are many reasons why this data cannot be extrapolated to women today.
Things like nutrition and not having a life of hard labor, and that we have antibiotics and modern medical treatment and fertility treatment and all these things. But there's a couple other big factors too. You know, first, most of those women in their late 30s were not trying to get pregnant. Many of them probably already had 6 or 7 children. Some of the studies have looked at women who married that late, but that's a problem too, if you're marrying in your late 30s and the 1500s, there's got to be something else going on. These are not the same population of women who are marrying in their early 20s. But I think that the biggest difference is simply that modern women who want to have a child can do so much more to make that happen in terms of timing and health and prenatal vitamins and many things that we know make a big difference. The other thing is we have data from more modern populations, so it makes a lot of sense to rely on those instead.
And what does the modern data show us in terms of the decline from when you're in your late 20s to your late 30s? What percentage fertility do you lose?
So by this point, there's three modern studies. So the largest study is about 3,000 women in Europe, and then there was an earlier one of about 800 women in Europe. The basic finding is that fertility in a woman's late 20s and her early 30s is about the same. So that whole panic of fertility starts to go down at 27, well, that may be true, but it doesn't really matter what your fertility is doing as long as you can get pregnant. And these women are getting pregnant at about the same rate in their late 20s versus their early 30s. And then if you look at early 30s compared to late 30s, there's a decline, but it's really not very big. So the earlier study of about 800 women found that the percentage who are getting pregnant after a year declined from about 86% to about 82%, so 4 percentage points, really not much. The bigger and more recent study found that the decline was from 82% to 78%. So these are not large differences. They're pretty small declines. There's another study to suggest that even the women who are not getting pregnant after 1 year, many of them, perhaps even more than half, will get pregnant in their second year of trying. Another thing that's probably worth mentioning is that two of these studies of natural fertility in modern populations found that timing makes an enormous difference. Women who are using, say, ovulation predictors or charting, if you time sex just one day better, the fertility actually equals out. So you can potentially overcome, maybe not all, but some of that age difference.
This is mind-blowing stuff, and it seems so counterintuitive. We've been told by doctors for years that this is a real problem that women need to be worried about. And now here's this psychologist saying it's based on flimsy data. For a word from the other side is one of Australia's IVF pioneers and leading infertility specialists, Gab Kovacs of Monash IVF, who surprisingly agrees with Jean Twenge that there is a baby panic. He says people are worrying too much and too soon in the piece.
Particularly the professional people, you see they've planned their lives, they've planned their careers, and then they decide they want to get pregnant. And when it doesn't happen and doesn't quite fit into their timing, they get very frustrated. So I think people's expectations have changed. Everyone wants everything straight away with minimum effort. And that's why I think so many people are racing. They want to have children now. They don't want to wait.
Do you see yourself as having any conflict of interest in this topic?
Not really, to be honest. I actually spend most of my time trying to slow people down. And it's just absolutely impossible to get these people not to race into IVF.
So that does sort of show the extent to which this baby panic exists amongst 30s and early 40s.
Well, there is a fear, I guess, but it's a gradual decline. You don't sort of lose your fertility overnight. Nothing happens on the 35th birthday when your fertility declines. But, I mean, it's not a good idea to plan your first baby at 44.
Can you talk me through the state of IVF in Australia?
It's about 3% now, so if you look at it, every school class, there's usually at least one IVF baby in every school class.
Wow, that's quite a lot more than the US.
It is more than the US, but it's not as high as some of the European countries. So we're reasonably towards the top. US is pretty bad because there's no government subsidy for IVF in the US, and it's very expensive to have IVF in America, so a lot of people can't afford it. Whereas in countries like Australia, where there's partial support by insurance, and in Europe, in some countries like Israel, where it's totally paid for, the penetration is much higher. IVF is developed for women who've got blocked tubes. And for someone who's got blocked tubes, there's no way they can fall pregnant without IVF.
And is it a result of infertility or age, or what is driving most women in Australia to get IVF?
There's two groups. Those who absolutely need it, the ones who haven't fallen pregnant at the right time, they are worried about their age and also say, well, hang on, I've planned for this now, I've done this, I've done that, it's time to have children now, why isn't it happening? I want to have IVF to fix that. In the olden days, people just waited because there's no other option. Now,
they felt pregnant earlier too, didn't they?
Well, they did. When I graduated as a medical student in 1971, the average age for a mother in Australia was 25. When I look at the data in 2012, the average age is 31. So there's been a 6-year increase in the average age of mothers. So there's quite a significant delay in having children.
Jean Twenge says the major problem is the bad data, that we're citing studies which draw on birth records from the Middle Ages, while there are modern studies that are much better. She says when you dig deeper, there are some pretty interesting conclusions to draw.
You discuss how women who are actively trying to get pregnant at 35 or over might be less fertile than the average 35-year-old woman.
Yeah, that's where the data get really interesting, I think. And that larger study of 3,000 women, they looked at, for example, women who had already had a child versus those who had not. And the decline in fertility among those who had not already had a child was a lot steeper. And that's likely because they have undiagnosed fertility issues. So the thinking is that if you have never had an oops, if you have not really fastidiously used birth control, then maybe more likely that you have a fertility issue. So what this means is that, let's say you've gotten to 35, you haven't had a child, but you've used birth control really, really fastidiously. You've been on the pill that whole time and taken it religiously, or you have an IUD or so on, then your fertility may actually be better than the statistics suggest for your group.
In fact, Jean Twenge has challenged the American Society for Reproductive Medicine on how they present information on fertility.
Their pamphlets concentrate simply on the historical data and on data from assisted reproduction, so like in vitro fertilization. And they don't include any of this data on natural conception in modern populations. It's a real head-scratcher.
The studies on natural conception, they're not as easy to conduct as one might imagine.
Yeah, people are shocked that there are not more studies of natural conception. And frankly, I am too. Even though they are difficult to conduct, it is really unconscionable that we don't have more data on natural conception, particularly among women in their 40s. There's basically nothing. There's one very small study, and that's it. It is somewhat understandable, though, from the researcher's point of view, because they need to collect a pretty specific population, so women who are getting ready to get pregnant. They have to reach them at that very specific time when they're just starting trying. And then, ideally, they have to follow them. So it is a little bit difficult. It's a lot easier to do with IVF, where those statistics are right there. So I think there need to be more studies, though. I mean, clearly this is something that everybody wants to know, is what are my chances of getting pregnant at various ages?
Gab Kovacs agrees that there is an unfortunate lack of studies that examine natural conception.
One of the first things we have to admit is there's not very good data on fertility and age. It would be really nice to have some fertility data. And they've done a number of studies in the UK, although not recently, where they followed people who discontinued contraception and saw what their fertility rate was, and that was accurate data. But I'm not aware of that happening within the last couple of decades. And that's something that would be really nice to do, but of course it's difficult and expensive, and that would give us proper fertility rates for the average person in the street. Without that, we're only sort of guessing. But there's no doubt if we look at statistics, and the best statistic we have is the outcome of IVF by age groups, there's certainly a very steady decline as a woman gets older once she gets into her late 30s. Now, whether that clock starts to decline at 35 or 38 is debatable, but certainly as you get older, your chance of getting pregnant decreases.
And just in terms of the statistics, do you see a lot of them being based on bad data?
Look, it depends on what we're talking about. I mean, one has to be very careful to analyse the data and see what the source was. Often the data collection is not good, and therefore any conclusion invalid. But in IVF, we're terribly lucky, because when we started IVF back in the 1980, under the Institute of Health and Welfare, we set up a database, and every IVF pregnancy that's occurred in Australia is on that database. And there's an annual report each year which reviews all the cycles of IVF and all the pregnancies, all the babies there, and there any abnormalities. So we've got fantastic IVF data.
But Jean Twenge argues this IVF data doesn't apply to regular natural conception.
I don't think they can be extrapolated at all. I mean, it's a completely different process. So IVF uses fertility drugs to get out as many eggs as possible. And when women are older, they have fewer eggs that are right there at the top, basically. And that's what IVF needs. But with natural conception, that doesn't matter. You don't need to get out 8 eggs at once. You need one. And it is true that when you're older, fewer of your eggs are going to be normal. But let's say only 1 out of 4 are normal. Well, if you're doing everything right with natural conception, what that basically means is you'll take about 4 months, and it's 4 months of having a little more sex than usual. It's just not that big of an undertaking. It may be stressful, but it is nothing like IVF, where you're laying out thousands of dollars for every try and doing injections and needing to get out all of these eggs at once. It's just a very, very different process.
But the IVF studies are the most comprehensive we have, and Gab Kovacs says they're a useful measure of the quality of the woman's eggs.
It's all about eggs. And the reason why fertility declines with age is because more and more of the eggs are abnormal. And the reason for that is that all the eggs a woman has are in her ovaries when she's born, and from there on it's all downhill. So the longer you wait to use those eggs, the more likely that some of them will be abnormal. And we know that from chromosome studies of women's eggs, once they get over 40, more than half the eggs are abnormal chromosomally and are not able to form a healthy baby. So all the fertility experts agree that even natural fertility declines with age once you get into your mid-30s.
And can you talk me through how the success rates of IVF decline with age?
Roughly, if you're under 35, you'd expect after one cycle of IVF about a 40% chance of being pregnant. And that in Australia is usually single embryo transfer these days, in contrast to America, where they put back lots of embryos to improve the pregnancy rates. When you're 35 and 40, that's somewhere between 30 and 35%. Once you get to 40, it's a 25% chance of pregnancy. And then it declines roughly 5% by year. By the time you get to 45, your chance of getting pregnant by IVF is probably about 1% per cycle.
Gab Kovacs of Monash IVF.
There is a sharp decline as you get older, isn't it, in its success?
There is, although, again, the really sharp decline doesn't happen until after 40. But the decline starts a lot earlier, because in those natural conception studies, remember that fertility between late 20s and early 30s wasn't that different. But in IVF, there's a little bit of a difference there. And then the decline between, say, the early 30s and the late 30s is a lot more in IVF than it is in natural conception.
And so there is that fear of, well, what if I do struggle? What if I have a body that may be problematic when it comes to giving birth and I need to take the IVF option? Am I really going to regret that I've waited so long when it's less successful?
Yeah, and that I think that's a decision every woman has to make for themselves. If you think, well, you know, maybe we should get started a year or two earlier, I don't think there's anything wrong with that decision. I also don't think there's anything wrong with saying, well, it's just not the right time for us. And so we're going to hope we're on the good side of the odds, as apparently about 80% of people will be. The other thing is, it's not that IVF doesn't work when you're in your late 30s, it just it takes more tries and thus takes more money and more effort.
You're listening to The Health Report here on RN with me, Katie Silver. Today, the infuriating, agonizing TikTok that plagues many young women. We've been hearing from Jean Twenge, Professor of Psychology at San Diego State University. She's put forward her case that the baby panic has been oversold and women's fertility doesn't drop off quite as steeply as many of us might believe. And one of the reasons I became interested in this, apart from the fact that I am a young woman and haven't had a baby yet, was my mother's story.
That was my aim, first child by 30. And then I was very shocked because it didn't happen naturally. It didn't happen just like it happened for everybody else. So I thought, right, I'm not going to get through the age of 40 or whatever, 45, and somebody says, oh, why didn't you try such and such? So I thought, I've got to try everything. So I went to an acupuncturist, I went to a psychologist, I went to an expert in the field medically. We got tested and it was hostile mucus, and there could be a bit of endometriosis as well, but they weren't sure if that was actually stopping it. Anyway, so then we went through probably, I don't know, 6 months of artificial insemination, where for me it was a very humiliating, confronting process, and you had to stand outside this room in a corridor waiting, the first in, first serve. So we had to get there very early because I still had to try and get to work that day. So it was very stressful. I found it really, really stressful. So you had to go to the toilet and everybody heard you going to the toilet while they were waiting in the corridor. And then you came outside, you waited in the line. Everybody was very quiet. I think all the women found it very stressful. And then they'd do the artificial insemination and you just have to lie there and you're trying to get to work. And then I went to this doctor and I said, listen, a lot of people have been saying to me, you know, what's wrong internally, you know, but you've never actually done an investigation internally. And he said, oh, and he looked up his notes and he said, you were supposed to come back 6 months ago, and do that. And I said, I was never told that, and I was very annoyed because I'd had to go through all this process of artificial insemination, which was really a horrible situation. Anyway, so then he said, I'll do the operation now. Anyway, then I told a lot of people that I was going to have this operation to see what was wrong internally. So a lot of people said, I had a curette and I got pregnant after that. So just as I was going in, I'd had the anaesthetic, I think, and I said, could you please do a curette at the same time? And he said, yes, okay. And then the next month we were going to start IVF, but I was so lucky that I got pregnant that month after having the curette and having a look inside to see what was wrong. So I was very, very excited and then nervous, hoping that everything was going to go all right with the pregnancy. And then it did, and then we had a beautiful, beautiful little girl. We were worried that it might take a long time to fall pregnant with the second one, so we moved as fast as we could on that, and then it was less than 2 years difference. Then, I was surprised how lucky I was to have the third one, because that's what I always wanted. The impact of me finding that I might be able to have children than I could was that I really appreciated my children. They've been fantastic in my life. And I've often heard other people complaining about their children, but I don't do that because I was nearly not able to have them. So that was probably the gift of it, really, realising how lucky I was.
Anne Silver. But there's more to this story than just clapped out eggs, and fertility is not the only reason a woman should give birth early. A lot of the complications that come with giving birth, such as miscarriages and birth defects, occur more frequently when a woman is older. Jean Twenge.
Yeah, that is true. And so that's another thing that each woman has to think about for herself. I think what's best is for everyone to just be informed and you realize what the actual statistics are. Because I think there's a misperception among some people. They seem to think it's maybe half the babies have a birth defect, and it's nowhere near that. It's about 5%. For women in their late 30s, it's more like 1 out of 100. I think that's a personal decision.
This is something IVF can help with, but only to some extent.
Chromosomal abnormalities, we have got a technique we can screen the chromosomes called preimplantation genetic diagnosis, but that's sort of virtually doubles the complexity and doubles the cost of IVF. The older a pregnant woman is, the more her chance of losing the pregnancy in the first 3 months. Or the chromosomal abnormalities, usually the pregnancy is lost by about 10 to 12 weeks. Sometimes the pregnancy stops growing earlier on, but it's not discovered till a scan is done at 10 or 12 weeks. Many of the abnormal chromosomal embryos stop growing at about 8 weeks.
Most of the discussion has been around women's infertility, but it takes two to tango, and infertility is a problem of couples. We often tend to think of men's fertility only when they're completely infertile, but it's generally the woman and the man who are both getting a little less fertile, and the two together can make a small problem into a big one. Gab Kovacs of Monash IVF.
If the man's got no sperm at all, they have to get those sperm by surgery from the male, and they've got no hope without IVF. If the man's got some sperm, then there is always a chance of falling pregnant, but of course the chance decreases, the sperm quality decreases. So a number of these couples who go to IVF with sperm problems may get pregnant on their own if they waited long enough, but IVF certainly makes sure they do get pregnant and can get pregnant more easily and more quickly. That's why they do IVF. But of course it doesn't. It takes two to have a baby, and it's really, really complicated because even often when the women are ready, the men won't commit. And I think we're trying to fix this social problem of people settling down and having children naturally with a scientific solution like IVF. I think we should slow people down from racing into IVF as the solution, because it's not quite a quick fix and it's not quite as good a fix. It is a possible fix if nothing else works. The group that's most controversial is what we call unexplained subfertility, and that's a group where the male partner's got sperm, the female partner seems to have open tubes, she ovulates and they still don't fall pregnant, and this represents about 15 to 20% of the couples that I see. And these are the problem ones. Because if there was no IVF and they just waited, some of them may fall pregnant in a year, in 2 years or 3 years, but certainly they're not sterile, they're just subfertile.
So what's a girl to do?
Well, I always told my daughter you should try and have your first baby under 35. That still gives you time to have that second or third one if you want to. But I think putting off your first baby into your late 30s becomes more risky because it doesn't quite give you enough time to complete a family. There is absolutely no doubt that as you get older, your fertility declines. Therefore, getting pregnant becomes more difficult, both naturally and even by IVF.
Gab Kovacs of Monash IVF. So this baby panic that plagues so many women, how should we reconfigure the way we see this?
I think the baby panic is based on something that is real, which is that there is a limit to female fertility. So I don't deny that at all. It's just from the available data, it appears that that deadline is a little later than it's been purported to be. So that scary 1 in 3 statistic is based on the idea of 35 being the fertility cliff. It really doesn't appear to be that way from the data on modern women. Fertility for women in their late 30s is really pretty good. The vast majority of women in that age group are going to get pregnant on their own in a reasonable amount of time. However, once you're 40, or especially once you're in your mid to late 40s, in that case, modern medicine and antibiotics and trying to get pregnant and all of these things are not going to help much anymore. There is a limit.
Single, in a relationship, career, kids, and that biological clock, which has been so talked about. But perhaps thinking ahead is just prudent. Jean Twenge calls it women math.
Think about how many kids you would like to have, and then how far apart you'd like to have them, you know, 1 year, 2 years apart, 3 years apart. Do a careful calibration of your finances and your relationship, career status, and it's a tough decision. Put all these things together. And then what has to enter the equation, too, is a deadline. And you don't know what your deadline is, so you have to go on the available statistics. And my reading of the available statistics is that you should plan to have your last child by 40, if you can. And I know that's not possible for everyone, but that's how you want to do the math, trying to have your last kid by 40. It's totally scary math. Tina Fey said, yeah, I definitely should have had a baby when I was 27, living in Chicago over a biker bar, pulling down $12,000 a year. That would have worked out great. Of the biological clock, hit the biological clock.
You can't escape the tick-tick-tock of the biological clock. Got it clear then? The trouble is that the right relationship may not tie in so neatly with the planned set of pregnancies. That health report special on fertility was made by Katie Silver, who's a long way off the fertility cliff. I'm Norman Swan, and I'll see you next week. You can't escape the tick-tick-tock.